or not to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-1375.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1820. 855-325-1820. That's 855-325-1820.
Hey, listen up. The official all-digital radio app is here. That's right. The all-digital radio app lets you stream all your favorite channels all the time on all of your mobile devices. Take All Digital Radio with you everywhere you go by downloading the official app today at alldigitalradio.com. Or you can find the app in the Apple Store and on Google Play by searching All Digital Radio. It's simple, easy, and it's free. Just download, choose your station, and start listening. Your favorite radio network is now your favorite app. Go to alldigitalradio.com and download it today. Promote your music, product, or service on air for as little as $5. Visit our website for more details at alldigitalradio.com.
You are listening to the All Digital Radio Network.
This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Well, I'm happy. The Cars for Boot ad is back.
What? The boot?
You clicked in and went to get your coffee, but the Cars for, you know, you donate your boobs, you get a car. Oh, wait, no.
You donate your car, you get new boobs.
That's something like that. I don't know. It's something to do with cars and boobs, and I get to go listen to it back on the podcast.
Does it have a sex robot?
Well, it should.
It should, yeah.
Knowing Sir Daryl.
Yeah. So anyway, our Florida audience is down tonight. Sorry, guys.
You're not. You're in Florida. You're here.
I'm here. I was in the eye of the storm at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. That bitch was coming right at me, and I made a post and I told it to leave me the F alone, and started moving to the east. So to all my Florida friends to the east, like Polk County and Volusia County and you poor people up in Jacksonville. I apologize. But, you know, I'm Zip Allen, you're not. Too bad.
Oh, that'll gain you a lot of sympathy.
Yeah, I know. Hey, but it's September 11th, and important day, especially to constitutional conservative right-wing assholes like me. But 16 years ago on 9/11, 2,996 people died. And since then, about 1,000 of the responders have died from cancer and other things related to the cleanup. And I think they should be in our memories as well. And 5 years ago in Benghazi, Libya, Ambassador Chris Stevens and Foreign Service Officer Sean Smith and the two CIA contractors, Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods, gave their lives. And, you know, we got to remember all these people today. But my only comment on that is Bin Laden answered for 9/11, and I'm still waiting for someone to answer for Benghazi. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, well.
But let's remember them all today. They deserve it. So there you go. Now I'll try and be funny the rest of the show.
Where were you when that happened?
Where was I when which happened?
9/11.
The first one? I was in my office at my truck stop headquarters, and I heard about the first one. I went downstairs to the restaurant, and where we have TVs and stuff, the drivers watch. And I watched the second plane go in. I hesitated about maybe 60 seconds, probably out of shock, and I hauled ass up to my office and bought a shitload of oil. Because that was my business. It was my job to do that. I kind of feel bad. My company made a hell of a lot of money off 9/11, but...
That was your job.
It was my job.
You asshole.
Yeah, and I ain't going to tell you what my bonus was that year, but...
What was that?
You would really call me an asshole if you knew how much he paid me.
You did what you had to do.
I did do what I had to do.
Where were you, CB? What were you doing when...
I was on the sixth floor, the highest floor of the office building that I worked in the time.
Excited.
Yeah, just outside of Boston. And right next to us were two very large natural gas tanks.
Yeah. And you're hoping...
that nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed. Can't say I blame you.
Not that I mean to laugh, but...
No, but I mean, that's the thought that went through my head is, holy shit, I'm up here on the sixth floor next to a bunch of giant natural gas tanks. Awesome. I could have picked a better place to be.
Yeah, well, I bought and sold and traded, you know, oil futures all the time to add to the margin for my truck stop chain. And as soon as I saw that second one go in, it was terrorism. Terrorism means Middle East. Middle East means... oil, and you know, I did my job. So,
yeah, I mean, you had to, regardless of how much the profit was or your bonus, or I mean, you kept oil flowing to where it needed to flow. And
well, you know, we supplied the trucks. You know, that was the thing. America had to get moving again. It was a couple of days the trucks were, you know, basically stuck all over. Our parking lots were full. Trucks weren't moving. Nothing was moving for a few days because of the shutdowns, but once they started moving again, that's how America started getting back on their feet. Trucks did it, you know. So
everything in this country moves by truck at one point.
And it sure does. Oh. Even if it moves by train, there's a truck brings it from the train to wherever it's
going
to
go. So. Like I said, everything moves by truck.
Yeah. You know, there is one thing that I take from 9/11, and I've used this reference many times on Off the Hook, on Idle. When it happened, when this whole tragedy, the days and weeks afterwards, one thing came out of it that was good. America stood united for a year or two. And really, you know, things got done in our government. You know, there wasn't all this crap going on. America was united. And unfortunately, we've fallen right back into that trap again to where America is completely divided. And it's going to take a 9/11 type event or something of that magnitude to finally bring this country back together and figure out what its problems are.
Well, I'm telling you what, Harvey and Irma ought to be that, and I'm not seeing it happening because, you know, I saw all these posts on social media when Irma's coming down in Florida going, you know, I hope it just hits all those Trump supporters and why isn't Mar-a-Lago open for evacuees? Well, first of all, Mar-a-Lago's on a barrier island, and it's a mandatory evacuation area, so nobody was at Mar-a-Lago except for security people who didn't have a choice. So shut up, liberal assholes on Twitter. Update on Irma from Florida. Tampa really got spared. It turned right, and we got 75, 80 mile an hour winds. There's damage. There's trees down. There's problems. There's flooding in some areas and stuff. But it's not like Naples. It's not like Marco Island. It's not like poor Jacksonville. Jacksonville's like, oh, it was coming in on Miami. We got to get ready. It might come up the coast. Yeah, and then, now it's coming in on the West Coast. We ain't got nothing to worry about. Well, guess what? Those poor people they probably had the worst flooding in the state from what I saw this afternoon.
Yep. This was no Andrew.
A big MF-er.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you're going to find that it left the destruction that Andrew ended up leaving. When it
this
all
Irma was wide.
Right. Irma,
it was the Whipple of hurricanes. It was big. Yeah, it was a big fat ass.
But just because it was big doesn't mean it leaves the biggest destruction path. Yes, it killed a couple of those islands out there in the Atlantic. That one island is pretty much gone.
Barbuda. Which is gone.
I mean, yeah, there is no more.
It's gone. They said there was 95% of the buildings were destroyed.
Oh, you want to hear something that's just sad as hell? I mean, and not just the devastation or anything, but my son's bachelor party was scheduled for Key West next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
No!
Bring your swim trunks.
Oops. Yeah, that wasn't good timing.
No, not at all.
So,
and then they got hooked off the coast, which is a big category 4. With the models don't show much with that at this point, but
Some of them say they're coming up to see me.
Well, it does. The models do show that it is going to come right up the coast, and of course you've got all the doomsayers saying it's going to head right into New York City. But they do everything.
That would be okay.
Who's this one, Jose?
Especially during a Yankees game,
pulls right off the coast, and we should be all set. Should. No problem.
Well, if Jose comes up there too close, it could disrupt the Apple Watch, and the Red Sox won't be able to steal the signals. But
we can talk about that because I think that's cool. I
I'll give it to you, but let me give you an update on Florida here.
Okay.
Half of Florida, 19.9 million people in this state. What is it? The third biggest state in the country now. Half of Florida has no power as of this afternoon. There's devastation in the southwest corner of Naples, Marco Island. There's damage up the middle. And the East Coast cities took a hell of a whack with Miami and Jacksonville hit pretty hard. But I got to tell you, Governor Scott kicks ass. This dude is a hell of a governor. He and the feds, and the feds, that means Trump haters. They pre-positioned all kinds of assets all over the state. And the response started really fast. I mean, there were thousands of utility trucks.
Oh, you could see them. They showed aerial photographs of the trucks just parked there waiting to be told where to go.
Yep. Rolling.
But the problem is it's going to get spun, and they're going to say, well, they weren't prepared for this in Texas, because look how fast they did this in Florida. And Texas was a whole different animal. It rained for 5 days. I mean,
they couldn't do nothing for 5 days.
I mean, this cleared right out. Florida's dry. You know, you move in, you do what you got to do. The waters recede, and it's, you know.
And face it, Texas is not full of transplanted New Yorkers and Massachusetts people, okay? It's a lot tougher than Florida, okay? But the response was really fast. It was well done ahead of time. The governor was terrific the week leading up to it. He was as pissed about the changes in the forecast, I think, as anybody. But it's going to take a while. Yeah, there is some things they do. There's new science that they can use to predict these things better, but it's not really rolled out yet. But it's going to take a while to rebuild the state in certain areas. But Tampa came through way better than expected, like I said, which brings me to my main point of the Hurricane Irma update in Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, my club box seats for the Bears-Bucks game this Sunday are still available. The stadium's fine. Go to StubHub, section 236. Buy my damn tickets, would you please? Thank you.
But they're not on special.
They're on special.
When are they going to open up Tampa Airport, have they said?
It is open.
It is open, okay. Because I know they were talking about like Miami Airport and things like that. Miami and Fort Lauderdale were still closed, I knew.
Tampa's up and rolling. They had high winds this morning, but by this afternoon they were rolling.
You know, but can I reiterate one point again?
Reiterate? That's a big ass word.
All flowed into there so smoothly and so quickly again was the fact that the storm was in and out in 24 hours. It wasn't 5 days of continuous rain like Houston had. I mean, it's a totally They're two totally separate hurricanes with two totally separate destruction paths and what it did. And the people that are, there is people on all over Facebook that are bitching about, well, how well Florida did do, like you said, well, why didn't this response happen in Houston? There was no way to do anything. Everything was flooded for days. Some of it's still flooded. I mean, you know, what can you do? Florida, it's not as, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do in Florida. After the hurricane, what? You can go loot somewhere.
Yeah, fucking, they saw that.
Can you believe that shit?
Yes, I can believe it.
I got a story here from Fort Lauderdale. Talk about upstanding citizens. Instead of looking for people in their neighborhoods, these thugs took advantage of a crisis and helped themselves to other people's property. Fort Lauderdale cops busted nine people caught on camera looting a Florida shoe store amid the chaos of Hurricane Irma on Sunday.
Shoes.
The arrest came after a local TV station recorded the crooks entering the Simon's Sportswear shop through a broken window and running off with merchandise. So the news media is photographing all these assholes as they're running out with stolen goods. And, of course, the cops said, can we have the footage? And the local channel 10 ABC station said, sure. And they rounded all the assholes up within a couple hours. This is yesterday. There is a great post on Twitter. It says looting. It's got a picture of the from the TV station of the people looting. It says looting begins in Florida. Rest assured, bookshops will be completely safe.
Yeah.
So they got nine in Fort Lauderdale just off that. But I got an even better story from Miami-Dade. In Miami-Dade, looters were braving the torrential rains and winds of the hurricane to steal a few things from boarded-up stores. And local police told them, hey, look, you do this, we're going to catch you. They made nearly 30 arrests so far, people trying to make off with electronics, sports equipment, cell phones, and more from local businesses. Trying to curtail some of the looting, Miami police issued a curfew Saturday that runs from 7 to 7. And the curfew gave the officers the right to stop anyone. They took to Twitter to publicly shame some of those they'd already arrested. They posted a picture of a bunch of them sitting in a police holding cell, and they tagged it on Twitter. Thinking about looting? Ask these guys how that turned out. And it's all over social media. So
But do you think they're really shamed?
I don't know. They all have their heads down, but I guess they don't want to, you know. They hit a sports store, a pawn shop, and a Walmart. And in Fort Lauderdale, we mentioned already, they went to Twitter also, and their chief said, going to prison over a pair of sneakers is a fairly bad life choice. So they're cracking down. I saw a wag on social media this afternoon. It ran by Facebook, and I saw it on Twitter too. This dude is in his camouflage gear, and you know those deer stands that you put up in trees?
Yep.
You know, he's got a deer stand posted up in the corner of his house, and he says, I'm ready for looters. I threw a high-def TV watch and some electronics at the end of the driveway to lure him in. So he's sitting there with a rifle.
Good.
I was like, oh, shit, that's too funny. But, it's just, come on, guys. Jesus, God. The state's got problems.
But it's not.
Oh, I think I can steal $300 worth of sneakers now because people are suffering all over the place.
But it's not just there. It's everywhere. It's any time any one of these things happen. You know, they burned down their goddamn weave shop in the riots. I mean.
Oh, yeah. That was a Ferguson thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, people just don't care. They have, I mean, it's one thing to walk down the street and you find, you know, a bag of money, and of course you don't turn it in, or you know, but you don't take advantage of a situation like this and just destroy property and steal.
But you gotta understand the mentality of some of these people. They don't have jobs. They don't have any future. Well, they don't give a flying shit about anything. They don't respect anything. Okay. And that's a problem with society that we got to work on. I mean, you know, on that side, I mean, yes, lock these assholes up, you know, give them a longest term as you can, but rehabilitate the fuckers while you're in there. Teach them how to do something they can make a living with, you know,
rehabilitating a lot of these
just people. Because you're of color doesn't mean you're
but
you're,
it's
don't have a chance in this country. Everybody has a chance in this country.
But it's not just the it's not just the of color people. It's the white people too. I see it every day.
Well, I looked at both these videos and
yes, that was okay. Yes, that was. But there was probably just as many white people out there looting too. They just didn't get caught.
No, the white people I saw all weekend were the people with three teeth missing, and they refused to leave their double wide. With the hurricane blowing in, they're going, oh, what I'm going through now, I got to take care of mama. I ain't had no sleep in 2 days. Look at me, I ain't got no shirt on, and I got hair growing all over my back. You know, I mean, come on. It's there's poor people on both sides, but those people ain't out looting friggin' sneakers. Okay, they're worried about mama. You know, and it's not everybody of color like that. It's those people that give them a bad name, and, you know, it's just horrible. It's just freaking horrible. Come on, grow up, get a job. The economy's rolling. You're in a state, the state of Florida, the unemployment rate is like nothing. I mean, you know, the minimum wage, forget about minimum wage in this state. You can walk in anywhere and get a job for 12, 13, 14 bucks an hour, but, you know, and you don't have to have any skills.
Well, because
then you learn a skill, and then you're making 23 or 24 bucks an hour, and you can actually live decent.
Yeah, but half of your state doesn't work because they're old. And retired.
Hey.
Yeah.
Half dead.
Shut up.
Where they went to live out the last year.
Yeah, but see, those people have money and they spend it. So therefore, there are jobs.
Yeah, what he said. Young
drive through the freaking front doors of the supermarkets. And
I didn't want to get out of the car.
You know, and the thing is, I don't live in any inner city anywhere, okay? But, you know, it's Florida, okay? And there are people of color everywhere. And, you know, I play poker with people of every race, creed, religion, and political persuasion. I go to a Walmart near me here, and the same thing goes in there. You know, everybody's there. Everybody gets along. We got nobody's got any problems with each other. You treat everybody with respect. You get treated with respect back. Okay, it's these people that think, you know, oh, my God, that store's boarded up. Let me bust in and steal shoes. Those are the people I got a problem with. I can't compute the mentality, man.
It's white people too. There was white people looting too. There was. It's not just black people.
I didn't say it was just black people. I said it was people of color. It could be anything. You know, white people are a color too. But I didn't see any in the videos, or the cops didn't show any. And believe me, there's you know. There's plenty of white crazy scumbags in this state. We do stupid criminal stories all the time.
Yeah, all right. Oh, crap a load of them.
But why do you ruin your life over a pair of sneakers? You know? I mean, I almost understand it over, you know, what? No, I don't care what race or creed or color or religion, whatever you are. If you're a drug dealer, at least you're making real money.
Well, because these people live a day at a time. Most of
them live an hour at a time.
Hour. That was what I was going to say. Most of them are living from joint to joint, from crack pipe to crack pipe, you know, and just making a 4-hour block their next goal. And soon as they see the boarded up store, I see it right here in my own little town. I mean, right across the road from where our prestigious cider mill.
Well, you have a big opiate problem there, right?
Well, yeah.
Big opiate problem.
And that's a white problem.
That's a huge
dumbass white people.
Well, no. No, it's not. It's not dumbass white people. It's the doctors who are handing them out like vitamins for the last 15 years as the tell-all, end-all for your pain. And people are hooked on them. They're absolutely hooked, and they're taking tons and tons of them. And the problem is, New York State, whatever you're diagnosed with, you're given a maximum amount of opiates that you're allowed for your monthly consumption. And every New York State computer is tied together. And when you get your maximum consumption, you're done. Well, these people that are popping 8 to 10 Vicodins a day are running out 4 days into their month. So what do they do? It's cheaper to supplement with meth and
heroin.
and heroin.
Heroin's the biggie. Because the effect's about the same.
Yep, they can get high all day long for a $10 bag of heroin, but to get 8 Vicodin pills is going to cost them $80. So what do? They buy the $10 bag of heroin, they get high, they overdose, and we have a huge problem.
See, I've had 2 spinal cord surgeries, and I can get all the friggin' opiates I want if I wanted them, but I won't take them because they mess up your head.
Yeah. But only
a certain. I try not to take pain medication when
my back hurts. I take 2 Aleves and call it a day.
But they're not going to give you 400 opiates in a month. They're not. You're going to be given 2 a day, 4-day prescription times 30 days. Your max is going to be 120 pills a month, and that's
which I could sell for $960 on the open market.
You're pretty much correct, and that's the reason people have turned to the heroin. And the heroin, the dealers are cutting it and cutting it and cutting it and cutting it and adding better and better shit, like this Chinese fentanyl knockoff that's going around that's cheap to buy. And the dealers are cutting their heroin with this.
Fentanyl is nasty. That
and
is
it's
nasty
killing
stuff.
People.
I know somebody was on fentanyl patches, and it was insane.
Yeah, but here's the worst part about it. We've got that drug. That they go out, they give them they go out, they stab them in the, you know, with the medicine, and in 30 seconds they're back up. They send them home, they go home, and they fucking just overdose again.
Yeah, but if the EMT doesn't get there in time, too bad, right? You're done. I gamble, man. I that's what I do for fun. That's my pastime. I play cards and I get blackjack and I gamble. That's just money. I ain't gambling with my life.
No, we're averaging 5 to 7 Narcan overdoses, where Narcan's used at least every day in our county.
No kidding.
No,
that's
being very conservative.
Well, I have additional medical news, and I'll tell you one of the nice things in Florida down here is the governor asked for 1,000 nurses to volunteer to go to the shelters for special needs patients, you know, people who are on oxygen or aren't ambulatory and that kind of thing, they had to go to special needs shelters. And the special needs shelters are ones that have a generator that can keep the power going full time. So, you know, regular okay people, you know, you lose power at your shelter, so what? The storm ain't getting you. But special needs people have to have the power to keep their machines running and everything else. So the governor asked for 1,000 nurses to volunteer for these special needs shelters, and in 12 hours he had 2,500. 2,500 nurses volunteered. Nurses are awesome, and God bless them because they did a great job. They're one of the best stories I heard. It was probably about 3 o'clock this morning, 4 o'clock this morning, in Pinellas County, which is the island where St. Pete is. It's not an island, it's a peninsula that sticks out into the bay and borders the Gulf on one side and the bay on the other. And we have some friends who listen to the show who live there. And these volunteers went out in 75, 80 mile an hour winds and pouring rain to go to a special needs shelter to repair the generator because there was people on oxygen and stuff and the generator went out. So they risk life and limb to save these people, and you know that's the kind of Florida stories I want to talk about, not the sneaker freaks. But speaking of nurses,
put it in the show notes, so we had to talk about it.
I've got a story about nurses too. This is not quite as positive a story, so I wanted to lead off with.
Well, it depends on your point of view.
Positive.
There's been 5 nurses at the Denver Health Medical Center suspended for 3 weeks after they inappropriately viewed his deceased patient's body and talked about it. Now, that doesn't sound like such a bad headline, right? But the problem was the nurses were disciplined admired the size of the deceased patient's genitals and at one point opened a body bag to view parts of the body. Different nurse heard one of the disciplined nurses making a comment in May that the nurse felt was inappropriate and reported to hospital staff. So multiple staff members viewed the victim while he was incapacitated. So this is before he died. So they're in there checking this guy out before he's died. This guy had some serious junk. And folks made a report about it. So then 2 nurses went in after he was dead and opened up the body bag and looked at it again.
But they want to see if it changed?
No, it's like, hey, we had to see this monster one more freaking time.
Should have taken a picture.
Okay. Now, here's the thing.
Talk about a dick pic. Jesus.
Yeah, really. I just basically went through the whole story. I paraphrased stuff and shortened it up a little bit. But I went through the whole story. And one of the things that jumps out at me in the story is the name of the deceased is not there. You know, quite frankly, if that was me, I'd want my name in the article.
Absolutely.
I'd want everybody to frickin' know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these nurses were fired for looking at Zip Allen's junk because it was so huge. Yeah, I wish. You know, CB, you would want your name in there, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, after you're dead, you want it, you know, all the women that turned you down in your life, you know, I want them to all go, oh,
thank God, they're legion.
I shouldn't have.
So listen.
Because
pick up a phone book.
But the guy's name isn't in here, but I am thinking that this is probably one of DJ Slim's Colorado relatives.
It very well could be. And listen, you're my legacy contact on Facebook. So if something happens like this to me and they don't put my name in and the nurses are taking selfies, please, please share it to my page.
Well, if I can't get a copy of the selfies, I do have a copy of the you on the beach, the nude beach with the sand marks.
You can always leave that as my last post on my Facebook.
Well, you could use that as the photograph in your obituary.
That's true. That's true.
That's true. You got footprint, and a line going down the middle that DJ Slim was here.
There you go. DJ Slim is no longer here.
Well, yeah, but when he was
here. But he leaves his mark on society.
Hey, ladies, you wonder why Mrs. DJ Slim smiles all the time? There you go.
Anyways,
so speaking of sex, we like to talk about sex, and we also like to talk about robots. And when you have sex and robots together, it's an off hook radio story.
Yeah, we need explosions in there too.
As much as we talk about robots and robot sex, you really better be highly invested in the robot field.
I am. I've invested in robotics. Guarantee you, I have invested in robotics. Samantha, the sex doll who can talk, is hot in Austria, and we talked about Austria before, and they're opening up sex robot only brothels. Well, it's been revealed that a bot named Fanny was more popular at a brothel in the capital of Vienna than the actual prostitutes. So after research, research said a third of us would happily have sex with a robot, and 40% would not consider they were cheating on their partner versus, you know, using a real-life hooker. So the bots are growing in popularity. Since then, a number of Austrian brothels have been making the switch to include sex robots, and now a bot named Samantha is causing quite the stir. The robot reacts to touch, speaks multiple languages, and is even said to be able to learn new things thanks to artificial intelligence software. She approached a visitor at the electronics festival where it's currently being exhibited by asking, "How are you?" And she's even seen looking people deep in the eyes and handing out hugs. So they have an X-rated commercial showing this robot even. So basically what's happening is the hookers in Europe are being replaced with robots. And, you know, I told the people that are screaming for $15 an hour in the United States that you know, you can be replaced by a robot. I'm wondering if the hookers in Europe should lower the price to $15.
Just well, is hooking legal there? Because hooking,
I assume so.
Okay, well, because
if it's with a robot, is it hooking?
My question here in the United States, being a hooker is illegal, and you go to jail. So now if you were open up this shop with robots, I mean, is it legal? Can you do, I mean, is this going to be allowed?
Well, here's the thing. Samantha can remember individual people as she communicates, and she can also remember the way she was treated by them before. In addition, Samantha will get an orgasm even more at a higher sex frequency.
So the more times you come and in and
so she is like a real hooker. She fakes it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're so good. You're so good. I've never had it this good.
Yeah, except for 30 minutes ago. You know,
that could be bad, though. Burns, you know, and you're a regular, and you're one of those that, like, beats her and slaps her around, and she just finally gets pissed off and just bites the fucker off.
Well, you know, the Chinese are really, really good at this stuff, and they have a factory that are making a minimum of 50 of these a week. So I'm telling you, the days of hooker employment in Europe are numbered.
Probably.
You know? Now, I do have some bad news though in the sex robot side, and I'm wondering how you guys will feel about this one. A cybersecurity scientist has issued a warning that sex robots could one day rise up and kill their owners if hackers can get inside their heads. Tech billionaire Elon Musk, we mentioned that, he said artificial intelligence could take over the planet. So he's not the only one concerned. But
maybe he has a sex robot.
No, he's dating some actress.
Yeah, so?
Yeah. So
if he has a sex robot, he wouldn't be cheating.
She's a Hollywood actress, so she probably is her sex robot.
Yeah, she probably says, here, you handle this for me.
But apparently this cybersecurity guy says that these lifelike dolls could end up going Terminator on us. He says the risk that hackers could breach the robot's inner defenses and literally catch their owners with their pants down is really high. Hacking into these things is a piece of cake compared to more sophisticated gadgets like cell phones or computers. And they can hack into cell phones and computers. So your sex doll is going to be nothing. So once the robot's hacked, the hacker has full control and can issue instructions to the robot.
Cool.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Mm. You're absolutely right. They can hack into anything that they want to hack into. And
what if you put a tinfoil hat on her?
Well, there you go. But the problem is you're not... This isn't the Jetsons where we all have a fucking, everyone's got a robot sex doll in their house, or not even necessarily a robot sex doll, but a robot, you know, doing anything in our house. I mean, we're talking 50 years before everyone's got a robot in their house, even longer than that. I mean, this is just such a small thing. There's nothing to be concerned about. Yes, can they be hacked? Of course. Everything could be hacked. I mean, the fucking Russians can hack your microwave and turn it on if they wanted to right now. I mean, everything can be fucking hacked.
Not my phone.
The big, big question is there really any desire to hack them in the first place?
Other than for fun.
And then if they do that, they're not going to do something awful, like make them go find a gun in the house and shoot whoever's in the house. It would be something stupid like they do to road signs and make them say, you know, Godzilla ahead, turn back now. You know, that would be my guess. I just don't see.
Oh, by the way, Elon Musk, the girl I was talking about is Amber Heard, Johnny Depp's ex-wife, and Hope Church in the shop box tells me that they broke up. So I looked it up, and I assume Hope Church is a female.
Well, he's the guy.
They broke up August 6th, apparently. So,
the other thing is, with sex robots, it would be a whole new pickup line. Instead of asking, what's your sign, you'd say, hey, baby, what's your IP?
Ooh! Yeah, and then she gives you your IP, you can hack her immediately.
Yep, there you go.
But once hacked, they can absolutely be used to perform physical actions for an advantageous scenario or cause damage. All I ask is
hurt me good, baby.
Yeah, the hacker hitmen of the world. You know, wait till he's finished. Come on,
and
till he's done.
We do have one major request.
What's that?
We need a DOS version for CB.
Probably look like my grandmother.
Now CB has a cheap ass smartphone. But
yes,
at least
but it worked.
It's a smartphone.
It's a smartphone. And God
you
bless
got
him.
Your updates last night during
he,
the game.
He was,
don't
he
keep dissing
me,
my phone.
He texted me the Dallas game all through it. As soon as he got home, late in the first quarter, I guess it was, and he started texting me about the game, and he kept me up to date on the game, and it was awesome. I really appreciated it because, you know, down here, it was Irma all the time. 24/7. They didn't even put the game in a little box. Although the weatherman on the local ABC channel would mention the score every once in a while because he was obviously a Cowboys fan. So he was cool. Yeah. So CB Snow, he kept me up to date. And we had Manning face. Manning threw at least one interception, and the offense sucked. So we had lots of Manning face last night.
Oh yeah, they were horrible.
I did miss Manning face. I love to see the Mannings when they get upset. I love Peyton Manning, Eli not so much, but they both make great faces when they screw up, or somebody else screws up. That's even the best ones. It was when like a receiver tips a pass, it's right in his hands, and it gets picked off. Oh, that's classic Manning face right there. That's the best. That's absolutely the best. Remember, it happened in a game last year, and I stopped my DirecTV NFL ticket thing. I had it on the OLED, the big one, and I rolled it back, and I caught the Manning face on giant 65-inch high-def OLED color, and I took a shot of it with my cell phone and sent it to CB. I said, that's the best Manning face ever right there, man.
Rather large one.
It was cool. It was cool. Yeah, because actually the close-up was more than life-size. His head was even bigger, if that's possible.
Well, that would be Peyton's forehead.
Yeah, Peyton's got a big forehead, but Peyton's funny. Eli's not funny.
No.
Peyton Manning might be president of this country someday. Eli, when he retires, him and his little blondie wife are going to go off somewhere. You'll never hear from him again. So, hey, Slim, you live in New York. You're not too far from Rochester, I take it, right?
4 hours, but no, three.
Oh, it's four. No, it's longer than I thought. Okay. Rochester Institute of Technology, it's a school with a fairly good reputation.
Losing their reputation lately.
Well, yeah, but apparently they've decided to help the females on campus.
That's nice of them.
Yes, they have put posters up around the campus with a Winnie the Pooh character on the side, and it says "Think of Rue." R-O-O, and then beside that it says R, rub 1 out, rub 1 out, which for those of you over 35, that means masturbate. And apparently the college put that in the freshman orientation to teach men how not to rape. Yes, they don't want rape on the campus, so they're saying, if you're thinking about raping somebody, just jerk off.
But the problem is, we've told people before on Off the Hook Radio, it takes 21 different women to rid yourself of the chance of colon cancer. So
yeah, but you don't want to rid yourself of colon cancer against their will. I mean, I understand that part, you know. But Jesus, for the campus to say, hey, self-gratification can prevent sexual assault. That's what it says right on the poster.
Which is really stupid. Because if you study what the psychologist and everybody says about what rape actually is, it has nothing to do with sex. It's all about power.
Yeah.
It's kind of
power
stupid.
And humiliation.
Yeah. It's dumb.
And these are supposed to be college professors at the Rochester.
Yeah, well, they're Rochester college professors. That's their problem.
Oh, my God.
Give it 2 days and someone will be offended. And then we're going to have a protest and a riot, and someone's going to get thrown out of college, and it'll be all over mainstream media over a rub one out poster.
Well, here you go.
Get offended.
But of course, like any liberal college, which pretty much is all of them, you got a few exceptions, not many. But in response, university officials claim the screenshot was taken out of context. Well, no, it's not taken out of context. It's right up there on a giant friggin' movie screen. but the Sandra Johnson, Senior Vice President for Student Affairs, said in a statement, quote, "The overarching goal was to increase awareness and promote discussion about the ways we together can prevent instances of sexual misconduct on our campus." Okay, that's just such a pee-pee-caca cop-out. I can't even stand it. But the next line is even better. She added the slide was one of 77 shown at the session.
77 slides? Oh, my God.
So apparently they had 77 ways to prevent rape. Here they are. I think using a Winnie the Pooh character telling you to jerk off is probably the funniest one. But like,
well, but wait a minute.
Like CB said, well, that isn't what rape's about, you assholes. Well,
but no, you just said that this was one of 77 slides showed during the session. We don't know if the entire session was all about rape. This may have been that student orientation that one of the other students mentioned that they were talked about. And again, this is where the professor or whoever is saying it may have been taken out of context. This was one slide of student orientation. Again, it's probably not the best way to do it, but it was one slide out of all of the slides that they were telling all the new students where the cafeteria is. And the next slide might have been, you know, where you do your fucking laundry. But that may be the out of context that she's referring to. And if that's the case, I don't really see what the big deal is other than it could have been handled a little differently.
Well, she goes on. You know the old adage, like once you're in a hole, stop digging? Apparently this woman isn't smart enough for that one either. Because she continued, at no point did we say that masturbation is a deterrent to rape. Yeah, you did. I can see the slide. We were talking about situations in which someone may want to do something sexually and their partner withdraws consent and what options that they have if they find themselves sexually frustrated once they leave. Well, once they leave, there isn't going to be a rape. I mean, no, just stop digging. You're a bunch of liberal people who think you know more than everybody else, and you're just proving what idiots you are. I can't believe this crap.
Think of Rue.
But on the brighter side, I see a story here about Sexpresso.
What's that? Stunning
naked coffee babes insist they'll keep working naked at World's Sexiest Cafe despite being accused of exploiting women. Entrepreneurial Carly Jo Howe runs Bikini Bean Espresso, where baristas don bikinis or wear colorful stickers over their nipples to serve coffee from a stand in Washington. Despite criticism over waitress's attire, she stood by her unique business idea. Of course. She got 35,000 followers on Twitter.
And she's probably
making a fortune.
What's in tips a day?
Yeah.
And who told her she had to walk in there and apply for a job? No.
Oh, is this the owner in the pictures? Oh my God, this is the owner in the pictures. She's actually very pretty. She's not exploiting women. She's one of them.
But how is this exploiting women? How is it exploiting women?
She's the woman who owns the business. How could it? That's what I'm saying. How can she be exploiting women? She's a woman. She's exploiting herself.
Their women chose to work there. If you don't,
it's America, bitches. She's making a living. I'll tell you what. And I love coffee.
They used to have a topless coffee shop in Maine, right off the Maine Turnpike.
She stole this idea from one in Arizona, she says, but that's all right.
Okay, no, the one in Maine was there for years. I remember going by it. It was closed 20 years ago.
Well, the one in Arizona said, at the first bikini barista shop, we want to empower women to be and feel good about themselves. Women everywhere have the right to vote, be gay, be successful community leaders and business owners, and even run for president. Yeah, well, that didn't work out so well. But, you know, I hope you make a fortune at your coffee shop. And this is America. It's capitalism. Good
the
for
Grand
her.
View Topless Coffee Shop.
Grandview, that's the one up in Maine?
Yep.
Do they have to wear like muffs over their
No, private? It was topless.
Completely topless?
Yes.
Aren't they cold?
Well, it is Maine.
It's even better.
Good point. Good point. Good point, Slim.
They'd have to wear flannel pasties.
Oh God. No, I don't. You know what? If you're going to run a business in this country and it's legal, more power to you. People bitch about everything. Of course, we're on social media. We know that. People bitch about anything. You could put up anything, and you'll find 50 people to tell you you're an asshole for posting it.
Of course, or they block you or unfriend you. Or everybody is so sensitive to everything that's put out there, and mainstream media is part of the problem. They just keep feeding us bullshit and crap and brainwash the public, and we are really, really
in a little big trouble coming down the road.
Hey, I told you guys last week. I'm waiting. Tomorrow is Tim Cook's big show at his at the spaceship campus for Apple.
Oh, so that means
I haven't checked with my family members. I don't know if my cousin's doing the stage staging for the Apple thing or not. He's done it for the last bunch of years, but hopefully my cousin will be there doing this stuff, doing the lighting and sound and everything. But to the Apple iPhone, the new one, the top of the line one, apparently is going to be called the X, and then they're going to have an iPhone 8 and an iPhone 8 Plus. Okay, but the X sounds awesome from the stuff that's leaked out. It's going to have like a 5.8-inch screen and only be a tiny bit bigger. You know, like the 7 Plus now that, you know, you can barely, you got to use two hands to operate because it's so damn big. That has a 5.3-inch screen on it. Okay. So now the new X is going to have a 5.8-inch screen on a phone that's a shitload smaller. So I'm looking forward to that, plus all the cool things it supposedly can do. But while we're waiting for that, I found the Boston Red Sox actually used the Apple Watches to their advantage.
Yes.
Yes, the Red Sox used Apple Watches to steal signs against the damn Yankees. Sorry, Slim.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
We all know Yankees suck.
And what they did was they sat out there, they sat out there in the outfield and watched the catcher, and then they used their iPhone watch to signal to an iPhone watch in the dugout what the sign was, and then they had a quick motion to the batter or the third base coach so they could tell, you know, if they were calling for a curve, a pitch out, you know, placement of the pitch, that kind of thing. You got to do it really fast, and the only way to do it really, really fast is using technology.
And what's wrong with that?
It's illegal.
Why?
Yeah, you can't use electronic devices.
Yeah, it's not illegal to steal signals. I mean, everybody does that. I played baseball for years, and then, you know, figuring out signals was part of the game of baseball. It was part of the game.
Yeah,
but you can't sit out there with binoculars and an iPhone watch and signal the guy in the dugout what you're seeing. You know,
he's. Cheating's been going on since the beginning of baseball. I mean, when a certain team would come into town, they'd move the fucking fences out, or they'd move the fences in, or they'd
Brian Cashman is one of the best GMs in all of baseball. He's for the Yankees. He filed a detailed complaint with the commissioner's office that actually included video. The Yankees shot of the Red Sox dugout during the 3-game series. They've been suspicious about stuff going on at Fenway Park. But the video showed a member of the Red Sox training staff looking at his Apple Watch in the dugout. And then the trainer relayed a message to other players who signaled teammates in the field what the pitch was about to be thrown. I mean, you obviously got to do this really fast. But if somebody was sitting out in the bullpen or up in the stands in the outfield with some kind of telescope, binoculars, whatever, and punching it in. Now, Boston's manager John Farrell, he said he was aware players were trying to steal signs, but he didn't know they were using electronics.
And, you know, knowing John Farrell, the guy's a doofus. He probably didn't know.
Here's my problem with this. I mean, this sounds all fine and great. And we
you're a Yankee fan.
No, I'm not a Yankee fan. CB, you're an umpire. Yeah. You've been behind the plate numerous times. You've been out in the field. You can see the signs sometimes from, you know, your position behind second base. I know you can. I mean, it is what it is.
I try to steal signs.
Well, but it is from the time that I was a pitcher, from the time the sign goes down to the time the pitcher actually pitches the ball, you're talking 2 seconds at the most. Okay, a guy with binoculars now has to say to a guy that's sitting next to him with his hand on his iPhone, 2 for curveball. Now the coach has to see this and get the message to the batter somehow while the batter is still actually trying to concentrate on the pitcher.
I know a lot of hitters don't want to know the pitch that's coming.
Well, I can tell you the Red Sox want to know because in the guy on second base might be the one stealing it, and then using the guy with the iPhone watch. I don't know how he was doing it, but apparently in that last series, the Red Sox went 5-for-8 when they had a guy on second. I mean, come on, they batted 675. with a guy on second.
That's the guy on second base stealing the sign and somehow relating it to the batter. That's not going through an iPhone.
They have film of a guy in the dugout looking at his watch and giving the signals to Pedroia, who was in uniform but not playing, and Pedroia was waving to the guy on the field.
And the but okay, so now it's even another person. You just
yeah, added. I mean it's trying to get the signal all the way in.
It's impossible. I mean, from the time the sign, I was a pitcher. The sign goes down. He pulls the sign back up. You come set and you pitch 2 to 3 seconds max, and the batter's concentrating on the pitcher, not trying to figure out which fucking coach is going to send him the one or the two or the tap hip or you know what. There's not enough time. Technology's not that fast with that many humans still in the procession. A guy with binoculars telling a guy sitting next to him what to push to the coach to the next person. It's impossible. I'm sorry.
I'd be interested. You know, I've never really timed the time between the signal going down and the pitch being thrown, especially in a Red Sox-Yankees.
It's not long.
Which take
it's for, not. It's 2 to 3 seconds. In the
yeah, alley. But not in Red Sox-Yankees. Those games take forever.
Yeah. No, they are. They're the longest games in baseball, man.
That's because
they suck.
Commercials.
They're unwatchable.
Thank God Roger Goodell is in charge of baseball because, you know, he killed the Patriots for everything. You know, I just tell you, most recently the Phillies were faced sign-stealing accusations in 2011. A bunch of teams logged complaints with the commissioner's office. The team used binoculars and other unauthorized methods to steal signs. But Major League Baseball never imposed sanctions on the Phillies. Why? Because of the Phillies. You know?
Yeah, if the you know, baseball, probably what will happen with baseball is Tom Brady will get a 4-game suspension.
Yeah, there you go. Tom Brady. Oh, and by the way, just so you guys know, everybody knows, because this is so, so important, Hillary Clinton's new memoir, her third, is coming out.
How many memoirs do you get?
I don't know. Hillary drinks.
Shouldn't you have one at the end and be done
with
it?
She might have forgot she had somebody write the other two. So somebody wrote this one, and she talked to him, and she apparently, a bitter Hillary blames Comey, Russia, WikiLeaks, Facebook, fake news, voter ID laws, sexism, misogyny, and off-the-hook radio for losing the last election. I'm not sure she blames us, but she blamed pretty much everybody, and we were on her case. So I'm pretty sure we're in there, but I'm not going to read the book to find out. All right. Anybody else want to read it?
No.
Not really.
Hey, you know what? You know why mortar and brick bookstores are going to hell? I saw a guy posted a display for Father's Day. Get your father's something special for Father's Day, 40% off. And it was Pocahontas' book. Senator, what's her name?
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, the crazy whack job leftist from Massachusetts.
Liawatha.
Yeah, Liawatha. Her book was on display for 40% off, and they put a get something great for your father for Father's Day. Okay. I'm telling you, the marketing genius behind that is not stunning.
I would not want that for Father's Day.
Amazon's going to own
take
it.
A tie.
I still use Barnes & Noble. That's just because I have a Nook and I haven't broke down and got a Kindle yet. But Jeff Bezos and Amazon have taken over everything. All books are electronics.
I like solid paper.
Hey. Can LJ listen to the show? We didn't say the F word at all, did we?
Fuck no.
DJ Slim, that's why you're the best, man. You had it ready to go.
That's right. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.